go to the movies, buy your ticket, get your 5-gallon bucket of popcorn, and for your gut buster soda, you step up to one of those. A freestyle touchscreen pop dispenser. Coke, Sprite, Fanta, Barks, Mr. Pibb, just touch the button and out it comes. And there's all different kinds of flavors and they all come from the same spout and they're all still pop. So what difference does it make which one you really pick, right? And sadly enough, too many people today think exactly the same thing about spirituality and believing in God. Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus. There's all different kinds of flavors, but they all come from the same source, and they're all still God. So what difference does it really make which one you pick, right? Wrong. Because that attitude today is destroying people's hearts and minds and souls and lives. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series simply called Why Jesus? Looking at all kinds of reasons why in this pluralistic world that we are in right now, we should only believe in Jesus and serve only Jesus. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the most important reason of all. And to see that, we turn today to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 19. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Colossians 1. Starting at verse 15, the Apostle Paul talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And let's pray. Lord, our world today, we hear so many crazy things about Jesus, so many ideas, so many theories. I pray, Lord, you just cut through all that this morning and remind us all over again who you really are. And how much, Lord, we need you in all things to keep going and to keep living. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Letter to the editor recently in Rolling Stone magazine. Christians must be crazy for believing in Jesus. There's no proof at all that some big guy pointed his magic finger and created everything in 7 days. There's no evidence at all that any supernatural beings ever existed. If that's not crazy, I don't know what is. Are we crazy people? Christians, are we crazy for believing in Jesus Christ? Not if you know who he really is. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about him. We turn today to the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to people in the city of Colossae who were swallowing all kinds of false teaching about Jesus being an angel and certain kinds of so-called secret knowledge that they needed in order to be saved. So in our text today, Paul trashes all of that by telling the Colossians Jesus Christ is the only one true God. Exactly the same thing we need to hear to cut through all the false teaching about Jesus that's flying around us today too. Our text this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, tells us three simple reasons why Jesus Christ is the only one true God. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus is the only one true God is because Jesus is God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 15 to 19. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now saying, but Kevin, no. Because it says here that Jesus is the image of God, like the image on a coin. And the image is not God himself. But no, because that phrase is not talking about who Jesus is. It's talking about the role that Jesus plays. The Bible says that God the Father is spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24, and invisible, and lives in unapproachable light, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But the God who can't be seen can be seen in Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen God the Father except God the Son, Jesus, who has made Him known. So God, who is invisible, was visible in Jesus. So verse 19, Jesus isn't just some two-bit angel or a God wannabe, because God had all His fullness dwell in Jesus. And the Greek there says, in Jesus and only in Jesus, because Jesus is the only one true God. But Kevin, that word firstborn there, that means that Jesus was the first thing created by God. No, the Greek word is prototokos, just to prove that I've been to school too. And that word is not talking about birth order, it simply means importance. So what that phrase is saying is that Jesus is far greater than all of creation itself. Because Jesus is God. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us over and over and over again. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God incarnate, who came down to this earth 2,000 years ago in human form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. John chapter 1, verse 2, Jesus is God and was with God in the beginning. So Jesus didn't just become God by eating His Wheaties and winning the Super Bowl, because Jesus already was God up in heaven even before He came down here and was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And Jesus always knew that. Jesus is God because Jesus said He was God. All over the internet now, you see stupid propaganda like that. Jesus Christ never claimed that He was God. But people, that's a joke, because Jesus said over and over again, like a broken record, I and the Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. Which is an absolutely amazing thing. Because for eons, God had drilled it into the hearts and the minds of the Jewish people that He could not be represented by any physical thing on earth. And there was even a death penalty for idolatry. So when Jesus came along, why is it that so many Jewish people still believed that He actually was God in physical form? I'll tell you why. Because of the life that He lived, and the love that He showed, and the teaching, and the authority, and the miracles He did. Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 38, at least believe the miracles that I do. Because they were miracles that only God Himself could do. So Jesus wasn't a liar. He wasn't crazy. He didn't have a superiority complex. Jesus really is God. Always was and always will be. And that is exactly what everybody and his brother in the world today denies. The latest thing right now, people are claiming that Jesus was just a myth, like Bigfoot, and that He never even existed at all. Hollywood actor Brad Pitt said this, "All this Jesus stuff is just a story. Where is there anything ever recorded about Jesus at all outside the Bible that verifies anything the Bible says about Him? Are you kidding me? All kinds of ancient historians who lived at the same time as Jesus did recorded that He really lived and that He did all kinds of incredible things. Jewish historian Josephus wrote this, Jesus was a man filled with wisdom, the doer of incredible deeds, the teacher of many truths, and attracted many Jews and Gentiles, and Pilate condemned Him to die on the cross. There really was a Jesus, and He really was God. But that is exactly what all the other faith systems in the world today deny about Him. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was just created by God. Muslims say that Jesus was just a prophet of Islam. Hinduism and Buddhism says that Jesus was just some lucky guy who lost his mind and then achieved enlightenment. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says, any faith system that denies that Jesus is really God has the spirit of Antichrist. Good heavens, so much for interfaith cooperation. And that's why that whole concept of coexist is so bogus. There's no way that all the religions of the world can coexist with each other because they all contradict each other. And especially about the most important thing of all, and that's who Jesus is. He's not just one among the gods. He's not just like all the others. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the only life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Me. So the person who said that Jesus was the only God and the only way to God is Jesus. So all you New Age, Oprah Winfrey, group hug, coexist people. Let me ask you something this morning. Does it bother you at all that what you say about Jesus is totally opposite of what Jesus says about himself? And you want to bet me a whole quarter which one of you is wrong? Well, Kevin, things are good when you mix them all up together. The Heinz Company recently came out with mayonnaise. That's already been pre-mixed with ketchup, mustard, and barbecue sauce. And they call it Mayo Chup, Mayo Must, and Mayo Cube. So, Kevin, why can't we do all the same thing with all the religions? I'll tell you why. Because Christianity mixes about as good as oil and water. Because Jesus said, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, I am God and there is no other. Hold the mayo. So people, let me ask you this morning. Who or what is your God right now? Because I guarantee you, anyone or anything else other than Jesus Christ is always, always, always going to let you down. Last June the 4th in New York City, actor Tracy Morgan picked up a 2012 Bugatti Veyron, a $2 million car. Leather interior made from blemish-free cows. $25,000 to change the oil. $40,000 to change a tire. But just 15 minutes after he picked it up and drove it for the very first time, a woman in a Honda cut him off and dinged his fender and his wheel rim. $50,000 in damage and knocked $250,000 off the value of that car. But see, Jesus Christ is never going to have an accident. He's never going to depreciate in value, and he is totally maintenance free. You shall have no other gods besides Jesus Christ. But I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now thinking, Kevin, still doesn't matter what God you believe in. It doesn't. Last Easter Sunday, April the 21st, on the South Asian island of Sri Lanka, 8 Muslim ISIS suicide bombers wearing explosives in backpacks coordinated a series of attacks and blew themselves to smithereens in 3 different churches and 3 different hotels in 3 different cities in that country. On Easter Sunday, the holiest day of the year for Christians, when they knew those churches and those hotels would be filled with believers worshiping Jesus and eating at the hotel restaurants. St. Anthony's Church, one of the terrorist bombers blew himself up in the middle of 1,000 Christians. There were so many body parts, they had to scoop them up in wheelbarrows. At St. Sebastian's Church, the blasts were so powerful, they tore the roof off the building and plastered the walls with blood and body parts. 258 people killed, including 45 children, over 500 more people injured, and the vast majority of the victims, 225 of them, killed as they prayed in church on Easter Sunday. But you know what's even crazier than that? Most of those suicide bombers were related to a rich Muslim businessman named Muhammad Ibrahim, who bankrolled the whole thing. And one of his sons, Yusuf, was one of the suicide bombers. And when police went to Yusuf's house in Sri Lanka to look for more suspects, his wife, Fatima Ibrahim, was also wearing a suicide vest and also blew herself up in order to kill the 3 policemen and also to purposely kill her 2 small children and her unborn baby because Fatima Ibrahim was also pregnant at the time. And why did those Muslims do things like that? I'll tell you why. Because they hated Jesus Christ even more than they loved their own lives. Even more than they loved their own children. Good gravy, people. And where does that kind of hate come from? I'll tell you. It comes right from Allah, the God that the Muslims believe in. Because here's what the Quran says that Muslims are supposed to do with infidels, and especially Christians. Surah chapter 2, verses 191 to 192. Kill unbelievers wherever you find them and fight them until they are no more. Jesus says, if people reject Him, keep praying for them. Allah says, if people reject Him, cut their heads off. Jesus says, love your enemies. Allah says, kill your enemies. Jesus says, spread the religion of Christianity by love. Allah says, spread the religion of Islam by the sword. So what difference does it make which God you believe in? I believe it's the difference between life and death. Because Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ, is the Lord of life. The first reason why Jesus Christ is the only one true God is because Jesus is God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus is the only one true God. Not only because Jesus is God, but also because He created all things. Verse 16 here says in the Greek, all things were created by Him and only by Him. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that God the Father created the universe through God the Son, Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, by Him all things were made, and without Him was nothing made that has been made. Jesus, the whole shooting match. And as it says here, everything. Everything in heaven and on earth, everything visible and invisible, even thrones and rulers and authorities, which means even angel and spiritual powers, everything. From atoms to aardvarks, helium to hedgehogs, mitochondria to meteorites to milk cows and everything in between. Out of nothing, simply by speaking it, by the power of His Word, Jesus Christ created all things. But of course, the world today laughs at that because they believe evolution created all things. You say, well, Kevin, do you think you have some evidence that proves that evolution isn't true? That depends. How much time you got? Folks, how did the universe itself even get here to start with? Atheist Carl Sagan famously said this, the cosmos is all there is, all there ever was, and all there ever will be. But folks, that's impossible. Because the universe had to have come from something. Because something doesn't come from nothing. Evolution says in the beginning there was nothing. And then for no reason whatsoever, nothing just suddenly exploded and created everything. I'm sorry, but you got to be some kind of Elmer Fudd dumb to believe something like that. Atheist Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's the host of that show Cosmos, you know how he says the universe got here? Our entire universe was created by a race of super intelligent space aliens. So our entire existence is just part of the hard drive on some alien's computer. Space aliens. And they say it's us Christians who aren't scientific. Folks, look at just the odds. Atheist evolutionist G.G. Simpson said the odds of even simple life forms like bacteria forming on Earth by a process of evolution, 1 in 10 to the power of 556, which is a number that can't even be calculated. More complicated life, 1 in 10 to the power of 1,035. Back in the 1960s, NASA determined that any event that had a lesser probability of 1 in 10 to the power of 55 would never happen. People evolution never happened. Jesus created everything. Evolution says that simple life forms evolved into more complicated life forms over billions and billions of years through an incredible process of genetic mutations. But the problem is the vast majority of genetic mutations hurt the living things where they occur. Like that little lamb who, because of a genetic mutation, was born with five legs instead of four. And G.G. Simpson has calculated the amount of time it would have taken for life to evolve on Earth as we see it today through a series of genetic mutations, 274 billion years. But evolutionists say the universe itself has only been here for 13 billion years. Whoops. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And where's all the fossil evidence for evolution? There is none. Not one single solitary example, anytime, anywhere in the world, of one living thing ever evolving into any other living thing. Not one. The picture you see here on the screen at the top is what scientists say the evolution tree looks like. All living things connected to one another, and evolving from and into other things with all kinds of transitional forms in between. Now, down here is what the fossil record really looks like. And you see no connection at all between any living thing. No transitional forms, no common ancestors, no missing links, no evolution. G.G. Simpson said this, "The complete absence of any fossil evidence can almost make you assume the fossils were never there to start with." Well, duh. Of course they weren't there. Because life on earth did not evolve. Jesus Christ created it. And that's what all the real evidence points to. Something can't come from nothing. But something can come from someone. Someone supernatural or outside of nature who caused it because he himself didn't have a cause. Atheist astronomer Fred Hoyle said this, "My atheism is greatly shaken because all the facts suggest that some super intellect has monkeyed with all the physics, chemistry, and biology of the universe. And the facts are so overwhelming, the existence of a creator is the only explanation of why the universe is here." I agree, and that's coming from an atheist. Back in 2003, scientists started barcoding DNA. Every living thing has a completely different DNA barcode that shows what species that living thing belongs to. And when you look at the chart, when they trace it back, notice, no connection, no intermingling of any one DNA barcode with any other DNA barcode. No species mingling with any other species, which means no species ever evolved from or into any other species according to the DNA, which is exactly the same thing the fossil record shows. And get this, scientists at the University of Virginia say, using those DNA barcodes, they can trace every species back to its original two parents, who they say, according to the DNA barcode, all appeared at exactly the same time, less than 10,000 years ago. Well, what do you know? That sounds exactly like God creating all living things, each one according to its own kind, just exactly like the Bible says. Jesus created everything. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, if Jesus did that, why didn't he prove it? He did in the creation itself. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, his divine nature and power is clearly seen in what he has created so that all people are without excuse. You say, well, Kevin, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. There's no such thing as an atheist because deep down inside, every single one of us believes in God. Because through creation, the existence of God is self-evident. So nobody has an excuse for not believing in God. So it's not that you can't believe in God, it's that you won't believe in God, isn't it? And what do you need to do? You need to surrender. You need to surrender your pride, you need to surrender your brain, and come to Christ. And if Jesus did create everything, why did he create it? Funny thing, there is no evidence whatsoever that there is life anywhere else in the universe except here on Earth. And yet astronomers tell us our universe is 2 trillion light years across, 100 times bigger than they originally imagined. Which means if we had a spaceship that could travel the speed of light 693 million miles per second, which we don't, but if we did, at that speed, which is really booking, it would still take us 2 trillion years to get from one end of the universe to the other. People, space, and distance so vast, it absolutely blows your mind. And over the years, the Hubble telescope has showed us all kinds of incredible things in space like this, all kinds of nebula that are millions and millions of light years away. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens really do declare the glory of God. So why did Jesus create the universe? To glorify himself. And so that when we'd look at it, we would see his power and his glory and his majesty. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Jesus Christ created the universe and all the incredible things in it so that we would look at it and think about him and seek him and find him. It all points to Him. Do we really, really, really understand what creation is really all about? Scientists tell us the most unexplored part of all of planet Earth is deep down in the deep, deep sea, where there are all kinds of crazy looking things that human beings have never laid eyes on because the pressure down there is so great, we'd never be able to survive. So last February, marine biologists from Taiwan National University stuck special made cameras down into what they call Keating National Park, down below the surface of the water, off the coast of southern Taiwan. And they saw all kinds of strange things swimming around down there in the dark. Things like starfish-looking things and weird-looking jellyfish-like things and green squirmy things there in the middle. And all kinds of incredibly beautiful neon luminescent colors. And they also saw these tiny little strawberry pink polka dot crabs with shells that look more like clams than they do crabs. Isn't he cute? But here's the funny thing. Even though we know that God created all those things, they are so far below the surface of the water, light doesn't even get down there. So none of those creatures even have eyes because they don't need them. So even though they have the most incredibly beautiful neon luminescent colors, they can't even see each other. And because those things are so far below the surface of the water, we landlubbers can't see them either. So the question is, if they can't see them, and we can't see them, why in the world did God create them? You know why? Because He can see them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, all things were made by Him and for Him. And not only those crabs, but you and me. So that we will glorify Him too. And come to know Him as our Lord and Savior. And serve Him as our Lord and Savior. And give Him first place in our lives. So that Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, in all things, even in here, He will have the supremacy. The second reason why Jesus Christ is the only one true God is because He created all things. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus Christ is the only one true God. Not only because He is God, not only because He created all things, but third, because Jesus also sustains everything that He created. And this is exactly what's telling us here in verses 17 to 18. Verse 17, Jesus created everything, and in Him, or by His power, He's keeping it going. So Jesus not only got it going, He's also keeping it going. And how? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, He sustains everything by His powerful word. So by the same word, the same very word that He used to create everything, He's also keeping the lights on and the motor running. So it's Jesus who's keeping the cosmos from becoming a chaos. So don't let him kid you, folks. The world does not run on Duncan. It runs on Jesus. And there's all kinds of evidence that that's true. When Jesus Christ created the universe, He put all kinds of physical laws in place that are still in effect and that never change. Earth rotates every 24 hours. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. When toast falls on the floor, it always falls jelly side down. Never changes. Our atmosphere consists of 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen with a little bit of argon and carbon dioxide thrown in. And even on the highest mountaintops and in the deepest caves on planet Earth, it never changes. Ever. And thank God it doesn't. Because any more nitrogen, our atmosphere would be nitrous oxide or laughing gas, and we'd all end up in the funny farm. If it was half nitrogen and half oxygen, we would have a poison called nitric oxide. And because nitrogen is the big ingredient in gunpowder, and because oxygen accelerates combustion, we'd not only be dead, we'd also be blown to kingdom come to boot. And scientists have no idea how or why that nitrogen-oxygen balance is maintained. We know Jesus maintains everything by the power of His Word. All matter in the universe is made up of four basic fundamental forces. Gravity, electromagnetism, weak nuclear force, and strong nuclear force. Those four forces all combined in buku ways to create everything that we see. Gravity holds the planets together. Weak nuclear force holds neutrons together. Electromagnetism holds you together. Strong nuclear force holds protons together. And those balances have to be perfect, have to be maintained precisely perfect, or nothing in this universe would continue to exist. Gravity has a baseline strength of 1. Weak nuclear force is 1,034. Electromagnetism is 1,000 times stronger than that. Strong nuclear force is 1,000,000 times stronger than gravity. And get this, NASA says if those balances are off by even 1/10 trillionth of a trillionth, there would be no chemical bonds, the universe would be nothing but hydrogen, and every physical thing in this universe, including you and me, would melt away like candle wax. Don't anybody even sneeze now. And who knew? See, we learn things about the universe. Jesus already knows them. And He's already on the job taking care of them. So if you ever wondered what Jesus does all day with His time, He's not exactly kicking back on a cloud in heaven popping bubble wrap. Verse 17, He is constantly holding everything together. And yet, this Jesus, who created the entire universe and all 2 trillion galaxies in it, and is keeping the whole thing spinning, 2,000 years ago came down to this earth, took on the form of a human being, and allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross like a common criminal by dirty, rotten human beings like you and me, because He loves us and wants us to be saved. So Jesus not only made it all, He also paid it all. And that's why Jesus is not only sustaining the universe, He's also sustaining the church, His main witness in the world. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. And why? Because He is also the firstborn from among the dead, which is talking about His resurrection. One atheist asked this question of Dear Abby: if Jesus really existed, why are there no fossils of Him? Well, there's no fossils of Jesus because even though He died, He then rose again from the dead and He never died again. So Jesus was the first one to be resurrected, and then everybody else will follow. All believers will be resurrected to eternal life. All unbelievers will be resurrected to eternal suffering in hell. So Jesus is sustaining the church, or at least He's trying to. Right now, a student named Eric Hundel from Chicago Theological Seminary, there's your first clue, is doing programs in all kinds of Chicagoland churches called Make a Joyful Noise, where he dresses up like a drag queen because he says there's nothing more joyful than a man trying to act like a woman. Drag queens in the church. God help us, people. Colossians 2:18, the church has lost its head. And if the church doesn't get its head on straight again, the gates of hell will prevail against us. People, do we really, really understand who the resurrected Jesus Christ really is? Because the disciple John saw Him in Revelation chapter 1, high and lifted up. And His voice was like the sound of Niagara Falls. And His eyes were like blazing fire. And His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance, 15 million degrees. People, if the real resurrected Jesus Christ came and appeared in this church right now and stood right there on that rug, I guarantee you we would not high-five Him or fist bump Him or give Him a bro hug. And we would not call Him homie or sing Him any of our Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Because His power and glory would singe every hair on your body and take your breath away and knock your legs out from under you. And we would fall at His feet as though dead. Like touching a 50,000 volt wire, because you and I have not been designed to withstand or survive that kind of power. And the only thing we would be able to say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. People, listen to me. You fear God. You don't fear anything else on God's green earth, but you fear God in Jesus Christ, because the very next ever-loving breath we need to take in order to survive comes only, only as a gift from His hand and from His mercy. Do we have any idea at all, how much we desperately, constantly need the Lord Jesus Christ? Ever since the 1960s, NASA has been constantly scanning the skies, looking for asteroids that could potentially collide with planet Earth. And there's millions of them. So many, at least three asteroids on average every week pass by Earth closer than the distance to the moon. And NASA puts those asteroids in two different categories. NEAs, near-Earth asteroids that come within 250,000 miles, and PDAs, potentially dangerous asteroids that pass within 250,000 miles, that could really trash our planet and do a lot of damage if they hit us. Now, any PDA that's bigger than a half a mile wide could end life on planet Earth as we know it. And right now, NASA says there's over 17,000 of those asteroids out there. And experts say there's three times more than that that we even haven't started to track yet. And in our cosmic neck of the woods, there's been a lot of those PDAs passing by lately. And especially 2019. Last January the 13th, an asteroid twice the size of a Boeing 747. Last February the 12th, another huge asteroid less than 74,000 miles away. Last February the 15th, last February the 22nd, last March the 1st, last March the 4th, an asteroid the size of a super Walmart, five times bigger than the asteroid that hit Russia in 2013, and scientists didn't even know about it until 2 hours before it flew by. Talk about getting the pass. And why has planet Earth been protected so many times over the years? Because when Jesus Christ created our solar system, two planets over, He put Jupiter, which is 310 times bigger than Earth, which means that huge gravitational pull sucks in 99% of all the asteroids that could hit us on Earth and wipe us out. Like last St. Patrick's Day, when a huge asteroid slammed into the planet Jupiter so hard it created a fireball that astronomers could see here on Earth. Jupiter gets hit 1,000 times more often with asteroids that are traveling 1,000 times faster than anything that has ever hurt planet Earth. And not only that, but when Jesus made our solar system, He also gave the Earth a moon. That takes one for the team every once in a while too. Just like this past May the 2nd, when an asteroid slammed into the moon and created a crater 50 feet deep on the surface. People, we have no idea how many times Jesus has stepped in and sustained us and rescued us and pulled our fat out of the fire with those kind of force fields. But the threat isn't over yet either. Because right now, NASA is tracking another asteroid that is headed directly towards us. 4.5 miles wide and as tall as the Empire State Building. They call it Apophis. Estimated time of arrival is the year 2029. And folks, if it hits, kiss yourselves goodbye. It is the end of the world as we know it. And that's why NASA has already established a planetary defense office. Do you know we had a planetary defense office? And they're already working on nuclear missiles they can shoot out there to either blow that thing to smithereens or knock it off course. But in spite of all the preparations, you know what one NASA spokesman said the most important thing we could do about Apophis? Pray, he said. Have a nice day. Don't tell me that we don't constantly need Jesus Christ to sustain us and protect us and keep us going. And the good news is, we have Him. Last March the 1st, a photographer in Agropoli in Salerno on the coast of western Italy took that picture over the Tyrrhenian Sea after a storm. And that picture has not been doctored in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. And in that picture, a lot of people see, through the sun bursting through the clouds, Jesus with His arms outstretched. Now, whatever that picture is, don't tell me that Jesus Christ Is not the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth keeping everything going, working everything out according to His perfect plan, so that in all things, He will have the supremacy. And not only over creation, but even more importantly, over you and me. People, listen to me. If you're not a Christian, you need to surrender to Jesus Christ today. If you already are a Christian, you need to surrender again to Jesus Christ today so that we can get rid of all those stupid distractions in our lives that keep the only one true God from becoming the only one true Lord in our hearts and minds. Because in case any of us has forgotten, Jesus Christ is everything to us. Everything. And the only question is, is He everything to you?